with information that will never be reported. Disregard the mainstream, media distorted. Whoop, whoop, we come and listen and support it.
Professor Michael Clare doesn't yet compare the weakening of American power with the collapse of the former Soviet Union. Others are looking to that example, though, for sure. Dmitry Orlov lived through the fall of the Soviet Empire. He has a new book, Reinventing Collapse, The Soviet Example and American Prospects. After some delay, that book is finally available. The publisher is New Society. This book on collapse emerged from a series of articles titled Post-Soviet Lessons for a Post-American Century, appearing on a website, From the Wilderness, hosted by Michael C. Rupert. Rupert was a former cop who dedicated himself to investigating political cover-ups and conspiracies. In August of 2006, Rupert mysteriously disappeared, saying he no longer felt safe in the United States after various threats and break-ins. His archive is still on the net at fromthewilderness.com. Anyway, Orlov outlines five stages or signs of collapse, which I will read from his blog. Then we'll hear a short clip from Orlov taken from the Sea Realm podcast, hosted by KMO. In his blog, Orlov writes, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross defined the five stages of coming to terms with grief and tragedy as denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance, and applied it quite successfully to various forms of catastrophic personal loss, such as the death of a loved one, sudden end to one's career, and so forth. Several thinkers, notably James Howard Kunstler, and more recently John Michael Greer, have pointed out that the Kubler-Ross model is also quite terrifyingly accurate in reflecting the process by which society as a whole, or at least the informed and thinking parts of it, is reconciling itself to the inevitability of a discontinuous future, with our institutions and life support systems undermined by a combination of resource depletion, catastrophic climate change, and political impotence. Well, here are the five stages.
Stage 1.
Financial collapse. Faith in business as usual is lost. The future is no longer assumed to resemble the past in any way that allows risk to be assessed and financial assets to be guaranteed. Financial institutions become insolvent. Savings are wiped out and access to capital is lost.
Stage 2.
Commercial collapse. Faith that the market shall provide is lost. Money is devalued and/or becomes scarce. Commodities are hoarded. Import and retail chains break down, and widespread shortages of survival necessities become the norm.
Stage 3.
Political collapse, faith that the government will take care of you, is lost. As official attempts to mitigate widespread loss of access to commercial sources of survival necessities fail to make a difference, the political establishment loses legitimacy and relevance.
Stage 4.
Social collapse. Faith that your people will take care of you is lost, as local social institutions, be they charities or other groups that rush in to fill the power vacuum, run out of resources, or fail through internal conflict.
Stage 5.
Cultural collapse. Faith in the goodness of humanity is lost. People lose their capacity for kindness, generosity, consideration, affection, honesty, hospitality, compassion, and charity. That's a quote from Turnbull, the mountain people. Families disband and compete as individuals for scarce resources. The new motto becomes, may you die today so that I die tomorrow. That's from Solzhenitsyn, the Gulag Archipelago. There may even be some cannibalism, end quote from Dmitry Orlov. Now, Orlov doesn't predict cannibalism as a future for America. He just says some societies have reached terrible stages, and he gives examples in his book from the dislocated African tribe described in another book, The Mountain People, by Colin M. Turnbull. Hopefully, by learning from previous cases of collapse, we can learn how to do better as individuals and as a society. But we shouldn't wait until things drop down to the bottom, to the pit of collapse. Find out more about Dmitry Orlov from his blog at cluborlov.blogspot.com. Orlov is spelled O-R-L-O-V. Let's hear just a couple of minutes from KMO's Sea Realm podcast, number 96, for May 14th, 2008. KMO and Orlov are discussing whether the people of the Soviet Union were actually better situated for collapse of their system.
You're listening to the Sea Realm Podcast, blowing your mind one week.
Welcome back to the Sea Realm Podcast. I'm your host, KMO. And joining me here in the Sea Realm once again is Dmitry Orlov. Dmitry is the author of Reinventing Collapse, The Soviet Example and American Prospects. Well, in the language of collapse that you've laid out with these five stages, would you describe the experience of the Soviet Union in the 90s?
Well, it's actually, you know, the Soviet collapse was in some ways collapse light, in some ways. And, you know, there were some severe social dislocations. There was a spike in the mortality rate. But basically, Soviet society did not really have any sort of financial basis to it. Most of the financial problems had to do with inability to continue importing as much food and consumer products as they were used to, they became accustomed to while oil prices were high and while oil production was booming. But unlike the United States, there wasn't a lot of personal finance. You know, people really were just given everything they needed to live. Money just didn't play that important a role. Commercial collapse was definitely something that I, myself, you know, one summer I showed up there and there was no food in the stores and, you know, most of the stores were just closed. There weren't the usual lines everywhere. You know, there was some food you could buy at open-air markets and such, but it was too expensive for a lot of people. There were people, middle-class people, looking for food in the garbage. You know, that's about the worst that I've seen. And so commercial collapse definitely affected it. Political collapse, of course, occurred in the dramatic disappearance of the Soviet Union, but what came out of it is Russia, which for a time had a fairly weak central government and had some rather unsuccessful experiments with devolving authority to the regions, where regional governors were for a time elected, and with some very mixed results. And there were some separatist movements that gained traction for a time. But it wasn't a wholesale political collapse. In terms of social collapse, Russian families turned out to have quite a bit of strength to them, and the culture turned out to be rather resilient in some ways. But there was a great number of people who had bought into the Soviet system and were shocked to discover that it went away. And a lot of the people that were active and had careers in the Soviet times, who found themselves completely sidelined, just lost their weight, and a lot of them drank themselves to death. There were a lot of suicides. There was just a lot of despair and disorientation. And I think that's something that is almost unavoidable, but to some extent it's preventable. And that's one of the things that I would like to achieve, you know, for myself and others, you know, is the understanding that, you know, life goes on and you just adapt. And it's not really all that important to be so fully vested in the status quo at the moment.
That was Dmitry Orlov. His new book, just released, is Reinventing Collapse, The Soviet Example and American Prospects. Usually Orlov includes a lot of practical survival tips for hard times, as well as an intellectual framework to understand this process of decay when a system has become corrupt. You can hear that full interview at crealm.org. That's the letter c-realm.org. I'm Alex Smith, and I've got a little tune for you here from the new Love album. It's a remix of the Beatles, and it's really fine.
In the USSR.